100. Dear is good. Dear is good. Amen. Ek praat Afrikaans biggie. Oh, it's wonderful. I started learning a bit of Afrikaans because I was beaten severely in Pretoria because I had spoken in English. And this man says, Moni praat English here so kafri. That was my first beating and baptized into Afrikaans. Oh, it was glorious. God used that to deal with me. You know, sometimes you look at things as bad, but God sometimes uses bad things to produce a good thing. The cross was bad, but produced you and me. Amen? It was a bad thing to see Jesus naked on the cross, but it was producing a character like you and me. Amen? So I was beaten severely by 4 white people because I had spoken in English. And I said at Pretoria Rosslyn Station, I said, excuse me, sir, may I know what time the train goes to Rustenburg? That's where I insulted Muni Prat English Irso, Kafri Bobojan. And I was smiling, you know. Oh, that made things worse. For smiling. So he comes out from his little office, and then we came out, and then there was a train which he had just stopped, and 3 other Afrikaners came. And so I saw this man coming, smiling at me. I thought he was going to say, hi, I hug you. But that was the biggest mistake of my life. And he hit me with stones, and my head was full of blood. My whole shirt was full of blood, and these other 3 guys also came to help their fellow white because they didn't know what was happening. So I was beaten from the back and from the front, and I had to jump over the fence running for my dear life. And I collapsed in the bush because I had lost quite a lot of blood. But 2 ladies who were looking for firewood found me unconscious and picked me up to Medunsa Hospital in Harankua. And while I was unconscious, God said to me, Stephen, are you ready to forgive a white man? Well, that was tough, eh? And I said, yes, Lord, I'm ready to forgive a white man. And when I said yes, it was like a big cement, a big brick on my chest had been removed. The brick of hatred, anger, unforgiveness was taken away. And I felt the joy I've never felt before. And when I regained consciousness, now the mistake, who do I see first? And it was a whiteness. And my first reaction is to get angry with this youngness. And she says, what happened? Whew. Then I said to her, you don't want to know what happened. I said, no, I insist. So I told her the story. And she banged the table there. I hit my people. I hit my people. She started crying. I said, no, my dear sister, don't hit. Then she had a badge here which was written, Jesus saves. So I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I'm a Christian. I go to Scripture Union. And so I told her the story. She was crying. Then I said, can I write a letter? You translate it from English to Afrikaans. So I wrote on 2 Corinthians 5 verse, from verse 17, you know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Can you imagine this great God going inside Christ? Now, when God goes inside Christ, and then Stephen goes inside Christ, and the white man goes inside Christ, we are going to meet each other there. Whether you like it or not, you are going to see a black person like me. You can't avoid me inside what? Christ. Amen? When you see me inside Christ, and I see a white man inside Christ, wow! Forgiveness comes automatically. You don't need to struggle to love me. I don't need to struggle to love a white man. A white man and a black man will become a cream and a chocolate, and then it's so nice. When you see cream and chocolate together, Wunderlich, lecker. Is that right? Yeah, because now we become like the piano keys. Black and white, we play good melody. The white keys cannot play good melody. The black keys alone cannot play good melody. You need them both. That's what South Africa needs. Amen? That's what South Africa... Although we are independent, but still we are still suffering with this thing of racism. It can be from black or from white. Are we together? Yeah, both sides are guilty before God. You can't blame one side. We are both guilty. So I want to thank God that I like the Afrikaners like, man, anything. Whether you like it or not, I can't help it. I love you. Amen. Oh, man, I love Jesus so much. Okay, I want to share. Now we have been singing for quite a long time. Are you ready to come up to 5 o'clock? Amen. You know, because God gave time to Africans. You white people have watches, but no time at all. So if you are late for 1 hour, Africans are still on time. Yeah? Because God gave us time. Hallelujah. We go to worship God, not the watch. Huh? We go to worship God, but when you worship the watch, you get bored with the message because you came to worship the watch. So each time the pastor is... Special ladies, they've left something in the oven. Well, today you have burnt offerings. The smoke, if it's not going straight to heaven, you are a sinner. Wow, okay. I want to speak from the book of Genesis, chapter 41. It's a book God used to deal with my life. What I'm talking about this Afrikaner in Pretoria is based from this book I'm reading today. Many people have read my book, Out of the Black Shadows. That's my life story. For the kids, it's called From Street Kid to a Preacher. And I'm writing now my other book, or I've written another book about inner healing. Many people have read my book, that's the story of Stephen, but this second book, Treasures of Darkness. Treasures of Darkness is a book I'm writing about how between out of the black shadows and who I am today, The in-between things, that's where God has been dealing with my life. So I'm preaching from the book I've just written. It is being printed in London at Monarch Printers and so on. But what I'm talking is that when I came to Jesus, yes, I was truly, truly, truly born again from darkness to light. A gang leader, a murderer to a saint, a drug addict to Jesus. But in between, I had struggles. In between, I had deep struggles. Although I was born again, I had not forgiven a white man. I had not forgiven my mother. I had not forgiven my father. If I had met my father that time, although I was born again, I would have killed my mother. I would have killed my father. Although I was born again. Do you understand me well? Now I was struggling with the negative things of my past. So many Christians come to Jesus. They are born again, but they are still carrying the negative things of their past. The impact of maybe the first marriage, they go into the second marriage, but the impact of the first marriage still haunts them. They struggle with the things of the first marriage. They bring them into the second marriage. And so they struggle. And I was like that. And I struggled with my whole life. I said, God, why me? Now, just a brief story for the sake of those who have not heard my testimony. Piggy. Okay. that we understand when we come to Genesis 41, you understand what I'm saying, eh? Are we together? My mother was a 13-year-old girl, only 13 years. She was forced to marry my father, who was about 50 years old. So a 13-year-old girl forced to marry a 50-year-old man was like marrying your grandpa. And she was crying even at a wedding in the good Presbyterian church, the chosen frozen ones. Wow. We were chosen from heaven. If you say hallelujah, you are kicked out of the church. You can't say amen in the Presbyterian in those days. But you know, my mother was given to that man, and at age 14, I was born. She almost died, and I was put in the incubator for 2 months. And then she had another baby who was my brother, and another baby was my sister. So she had 3 kids before she was even 20. And so, but at the age of 4, the only thing I knew was my dad bashing my mother every day. There was no day I didn't see blood in the nose of my mother. Every time she had a swollen eye, swollen mouth. And as a young boy, I would try to save my mother from this cruel husband. You know, we have many husbands now, even in the church, although they don't beat with this, but they beat with mouth, the way they shout at their wives. That's also beating. You may not beat her with this, but the way you talk to her, the way you shout at her, that's beating. That's beating. And how many women have tears on the pillows every time? I am speaking with passion because I was the victim of divorce. And so this went on and on, and I would try to save my mother from this man. But my dad would push me aside. But one day he pushed me against the wall, and my head was full of blood. And I turned towards my father, looked at him as a four-year-old boy, looked in his eyes, and I didn't blink. My father said, "Why are you looking at me like that?" And I didn't answer him. But in my mind, this is what I said: "You just wait. Let me grow up and I'll kill you." From the age of four, I was looking how I could kill my father. Sometimes I would aim to crush the pieces of bottles to put those bottles in his food. And so this went on and on until my father left home, where we were born in Zimbabwe. My father was a Malawian, married to a Zambian lady. And so he left Zimbabwe, going back to Malawi. And my mother, out of desperation, she didn't know what to do with the kids, so took us downtown in Harare, said, "Steve, hold your baby sister. I'm going to the toilet. I'll be back." And I was carrying the little baby. In the cold, my mother went to the toilet and never came back. That's how I was left in desperation. Didn't know what to do. My baby sister was crying. My brother was crying. It was extremely cold. And I didn't know what to do. And then the police found us, rushed with my baby sister to the hospital. And my brother were taken to the orphanage. And we were taking the two brothers to the orphanage. They separated the two brothers from their only sister. And that took 39 years before we saw her again. And we used to ask questions, "Where is our sister? Where is our sister?" But at the orphanage, upon arrival, I was coming from this problem of rejection from my mother, dumped by my mother, and I'm going to the orphanage thinking that it will be heaven on earth. But it was a mistake. Upon arrival, the big tough boys beat me up on my nose, and I was bleeding, crying. And the teachers found me crying, said, "Young boy, tell us who beat you up." I said, "I don't know, I've just arrived." Said, "Boy, if you don't tell us who beat you up, we'll spank you." And I thought he was joking. I said, I'm a newcomer, I've just arrived." And he got angry, ties my little hands around the pole. He takes a shambok and he whips me 12 times. And I was screaming and wetting myself. And all that cry went to deaf ears. And following day, the same thing. For 3 days, I could hardly sleep on my back. The pain was unbearable. And then the fifth day, I couldn't handle it any longer. I went outside a toilet, which was outside, and I started shouting in the toilet there with my hand up. I said, "God, if you are there, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Why did you create me to suffer like this?" There's a time you look for death, but death doesn't come by. You feel to die. And so later on, the teachers found me shouting. They said, "Boy, who told you to shout against God?" But this day was different, because I said, if he ties me on the rope, I said, "Today, I'm going to be a man." Now, here's a four-year-old boy. You are telling yourself you must be a man. So when he ties my little hands around the pole, he gives me 12 shamboks, but not a drop of a tear in my eyes. I said, "From today, I will never cry." And I didn't cry. And he said, "Young boy, you think you are tough? You think you are tough?" He gives me another 12, but not a drop of a tear in my eyes. When a young boy doesn't cry, you have created the most dangerous boy. Because tears are like medicine. Never hold back your tears. There are many people who have told me I'm too tough to cry. But let me tell you, up to now, even the best counselor can never reach out to your heart. Because you suppress those tears. It is very good to let those tears out. There are many people who are raped. Many people who are abused. They never cried. That's why right now it's so hard for them if they, even a simple message, they can never respond. They are so hard-hearted because you never cried. And so I left that orphanage, leaving my brother, whom I was going to see after so many years. And I went out and then started living under an old road. There was a bridge, and that bridge became my permanent home. From the age of 4, I lived under that bridge, feeding from the white garbage bins and, you know, picking up all the stale food. So I grew up eating from the garbage bins. And I used to cry when I would see other children going to school. And I would say, I wish. You know, sometimes when I look back, I said, God, maybe. Like in John chapter 9, you remember John chapter 9, where the disciples of Jesus come to Jesus and they see the blind man. Is it this man who sinned or his parents? The Jews used to think that when a person is crippled or blind, maybe the case came from the parents. But Jesus says neither of them. But so that God may display his glory on this man. Now I look at myself, no education, a boy feeding from the garbage bins, but God was saying, I will display my glory from this boy. Now I'm that boy God picked up from the garbage bins. The night I was saved, I was stinking. I never had a bath for many months. Horrible. I was led to Jesus with a preacher with his handkerchief on the nose because of the smell of my body. Now, this Stephen you see now is made from Calvary. If it were not the Calvary, I wouldn't have been dressing like this. Some of you, because you have a degree or education, you are smart. But me, it's not all that. It's all the grace of God. Nothing else. I can't talk about education because I didn't go to school. I don't know what is standard one. I don't know. I don't know how a teacher looks like. Amen? Whether it's got long nose or flat nose or pink or blue. But I didn't have that privilege. All what I have is all the grace of God. And so that time I grew from bed, started taking drugs at the age of 9. And I started marijuana and then LSD, all the different drugs. By age 11, I was already a drug addict. And by age 11, first time I stabbed someone with a knife. And that was going to be a series of stabbings. And my knife, which I'd named the Dragon, each mark on that knife, it told you how many times I'd stabbed someone. And then later on, I had two revolvers. And a young boy, 12 years old, with two revolvers. Now I was in control of the streets. Then I had my gang of 40 boys. And all these boys, 40 boys, you had to defeat each one of them by fighting each one of them. When you beat all of them, you become the leader. Now, when you become the leader, you are the most ruthless among your friends. In your vocabulary, you don't have the word kindness. The kindness was for sissies. And you don't have the word mercy. That word doesn't exist. So I didn't have mercy. And I told my gang, you never laugh in my gang. Never laugh. Can you imagine? From the age of 6, I never laughed The time I laughed was the night I came to Jesus at the age of 20. That was the first time I laughed. And one of my gang was laughing, going aside. I said, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "I was laughing about it." And I pulled out my gun and shot him for laughing. I was quiet, unpredictable. And then at the age of 15, I joined Robert Mugabe as a freedom fighter in Zimbabwe. And I was in the bush for 5 years. But in the bush, I had to put the clenched fists. There's no God. There's no God. You see any person with a Bible, give him a bullet. Because the Bible was brought by the white man to brainwash the black people, to make them slaves. So it was a book of slavery. And then you don't talk about Jesus. When you talk about Jesus, he's a white man. How can you believe in a white man's God? So I embraced Marxism, became a communist. The Russian Karl Marx was too simple. So I embraced of Mao Zedong in China. And I became the most ruthless boy. And using landmines, blowing up all bridges and so on. And so became my lifestyle. Killing someone was like killing a chicken. And so my life went from bad to worse. In the bush, I said, you only greet a white man when you kill him first, then greet him later. Because a white man who is talking will still call you a baboon, will still call you a kafir. So kill every white man and never spare a white man. And so you are very safe today, don't worry. I could see all white people becoming red, red, red. No, when a white man is angry, it becomes red, red. And we black people, we become pitch black. So all my life went from there, and one day I was 20 years old. I was given a big TNT bomb to go and plant it in the bank where many white people used to go. And it was a time bomb that on Monday morning, 8:15, when the bank is full of white people, the bomb would go off. So I was excited that day. And carrying that bomb that evening to go and plant it. And by the roadside, we saw a massive tent, which was from South Africa. And they were singing about Jesus. Man, I can tell you the anger I had that time, because 2 weeks before that tent, I had stabbed a girl with a knife because she had come with a Bible to me and said, "Brother, I want to tell you about Jesus." And I was quiet. She comes closer. I was quiet. And I pulled out my knife and stabbed her to the back. I said, "You never talk to me about Jesus." So that evening, when we see this massive tent, almost 3,000 people inside. And I said, "Guys, before we go to plant the bomb at the bank, let's go to that big tent. Kill everyone inside. Don't spare one person. If you see your mother, she must die. If you see your sister inside, she must die. No one will be spared." They said, "Okay, Steve." I said, "If one person escapes, I will give you a bullet myself." They said, "Okay." So we go to the tent, and it was, he said, "What time do we start?" I said, "I'll blow the whistle at 7 o'clock on the dot." He said, "Okay." But he said, "Steve, it is 5 to 7. What do we do in these 5 minutes? I said, "Well, we have 5 minutes. Maybe let's go inside for 2 minutes only. We look at the people we're about to kill for 2 minutes only." So we went inside, and the last bench on the entrance fitted all the 20 boys, like it was spared for us. So when we went in, the tent was 100% full. So They were singing choruses as South Africans sing good choruses. But my gang at the back, we sang out of tune to disturb the meeting. And one of the preachers came and touched my shoulder, said, "Boys, please, you are making noise." And I pulled out my knife. I said, "Preacher, if you ever touch me, I'll kill you right now." And he walked away. And ladies rushed to this preacher, said, "Please walk away from these boys, they are dangerous." So he walked away, and I started tossing up my knife up and down. And then they invited a pretty girl from Soweto and Johannesburg. Man, she was gorgeous. And she comes to share her testimony, and she was like glowing as she shared her testimony. And I said, "Now what's going on? Why is that girl shining?" You know, it's like around her there were bulbs shining. And I said to my friend, "Do you see that girl shining?" He said, "No, she's not shining." I said, and then my friend on my left says, "That girl shining?" He said, "No, she's not shining." So I said, "You guys, what type of eyes do you have? Can't you see she's shining?" What I saw, my friends didn't see. Then she invites another black evangelist from Soweto and Johannesburg, and this man stood up and read two verses. Romans 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus." And he read 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty, you may be rich in Christ." He said, "Tonight I'm going to talk about God's transaction. The first transaction is that Jesus, in his mother's womb, he was rejected." And I said in my mind, yes, I can identify with that Jesus who was rejected. He said, "Jesus was born in a manger where it was stinking." I said, yes, I can identify with that Jesus. Here I am sleeping under a bridge, feeding from the garbage bins. Jesus had a borrowed donkey. And Jesus had a borrowed house for his last supper. Jesus died on the borrowed cross. That cross did not belong to Jesus. It belonged to Barabbas. But Jesus died on a borrowed cross. When he died, he was buried in a borrowed grave. And I said, how can the Son of God, everything borrowed for my sake? Then he said he went to heaven, sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, but is coming again. And that is the part of the message I didn't like. Because when he says he's coming again, he says he will be the God of judgment. And I didn't like that part, because as he spoke about the judgment of God, he spoke about drugs, he spoke about murder, he spoke about everything that I did, and I pulled out my knife to kill my friend. I said, "I'll kill you. Why did you tell the preacher about my sins?" And my friend took out his knife and said, "I'll also kill you. You told him about mine too." So we faced each other with our knives, and so as we looked at each other, but it was that message which made me restless. So as every time he pointed the finger like it was directed to me, and he would point this way like the finger was bending towards me all the time, I said, "This preacher has no manners at all. Why does he use his finger?" But the next thing, when he would do like this, I would duck down behind someone's back, and when you point, I would die. So I was going up and down, up and down. But little did I know that you can never hide from the finger of God. And that night I broke down in tears. I was crying under deep conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I picked up my AK-47 and all my bombs. I started walking forward as he was still preaching. And I grabbed his legs as I knelt down crying for God's mercy. And as I was crying, his trousers were soaked wet with my tears. And he didn't stop preaching. He went on preaching. But suddenly, there was a huge explosion. as the other gang came with the bombs and threw the bombs inside, blew up that tent. Many people died that night. Dead bodies all over. Bodies of, pieces of bodies, one leg there, one, man, it was horrible. The tent burnt up to the top. Every car outside was set ablaze. No car survived that night. So every car, it was explosions of tires, explosions of petrol tanks and so on. And as people were, this fire brigade were putting out the fire, were all soaked wet. And out of 3,000 people, only one boy remained behind. And it was me, stinking, smelling. And the preacher holding his mouth with his handkerchief. He says, "Young boy, what can I do for you?" I said, "Can you, Jesus, save a sinner like me?" He says, "Yes, God loves you." The moment he says God loves you, I pulled out my gun, pointed on his forehead, shaking with my hand, about to pull the trigger. I said, "Preacher, I will kill you right now. Never tell me about God. My mother rejected me. I sleep under the bridge. I don't know how to read and write. You tell me that God loves me. I want your Jesus you've been preaching about tonight." For me, I thought God was different. Jesus was different. And this preacher started crying. He says, "Young boy, let me tell you about me. A 14-year-old girl in Soweto was coming from school. And a man with a knife got hold of that girl, forced her in the bush, raped her several times, and left for dead. 9 months later, in the public toilet, she gave birth to a baby boy. She took that child, forced the child in the toilet, and ran away. Another woman was going to help herself, found a baby, pulled out that baby, still with the umbilical cord, rushed to the hospital, and that child survived." He said, "That child is me." It was that preacher. That night, he said, "You were thrown away in the streets, but I was thrown away in the toilet. But God, in his love, he gave me Psalms 27, verse 10. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." It was that scripture that night. I said, "Jesus, come into my life. Change me tonight." And it was like that Spirit of God started ministering into my spirit. And that night a miracle happened. The power of hatred moved away. The joy flooded my heart. The peace of God just flooded my heart. And the next thing, I was laughing, I was crying, I was laughing. I couldn't stop. First time I laughed, first time I was crying, first time I cried. It takes the Spirit of God to make a young, tough, angry boy to cry. Last week, on Friday, I was preaching at one of the secondary schools here in Stellenbosch. A boy was given a problem at school, never cried, rejected by parents as I was preaching. That boy started crying right through my service. And afterwards, it was a joy to pray with that young boy. And afterwards, he said, "Here are my drugs." All the things, he started surrendering. The change. And surprised, the whole school was in commotion because of one boy. And so that night I cried, went to my bush under my bridge, and I started thanking God for saving me. I said, "God, now what do I do with my life? You have saved me. What do I do?" And the Spirit of God came upon me. I don't know what language I was talking. Remember, I'm Presbyterian, chosen, frozen ones, never speaking tongues. But there I was speaking in tongues. The Spirit of God took over. And suddenly behind me I had a voice, "Stephen, Stephen." And I turned around. I could hear this voice from there, like a man, everywhere. And I was puzzled, and the voice said, "Stephen, I will open your eyes, and I will send you to many nations you do not know. And now here I am, God picked up, talk about any nation. There are only 27 countries I'm yet to go around the world. God picked up a nobody and made me what I am today. God, you know, worked in my life. I've been preaching to Harvard University, 50,000 students in the stadium. God moving at Harvard University, went to Stanford, all those big universities, United, from a nobody who didn't go to school. God picked up a nobody. And God used my wife to train me how to speak English. Well-educated, a graduate, married me who never went to school. The reason is that she saw the most handsome man in the whole world. If you don't believe it, it's your problem. But my wife told me that I was handsome, so you've got to believe what your wife tells you. Isn't so that, my brother? Yeah. Amen. So you ladies, please tell us that we look good. Amen. So it was my wife who taught me, you know, so many things. It takes a godly woman to teach a husband. And also it takes a godly man to listen from the wife. And so the Lord taught me through my wife how to hold a knife and a fork and how to eat properly, because you could hear me 6 miles away chewing my food. I used to eat like a pig. So my wife says, honey, can you shut your mouth, please? Then I started shutting my mouth, eating like an Englishman. So it was my wife who taught me how to, and she taught me how to iron clothes and to make bed, all those things. And she trained me. Now my hobby now is ironing. I love ironing. Oh, I love washing dishes. I thank God I wash dishes. I do all the chores with my wife in the home. There is no chores I say this is a woman's job. No. Because when God saved me, I ceased to be an African. When Jesus saves you, you cease to be an African. You cease to be a Zulu. You cease to be a Xhosa. You cease to be an Africana. All your culture vanishes away because you take the culture of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When you take the culture of the kingdom of God, you are able to help your wife. Amen. And also the kingdom of God, you tell your wife how gorgeous she is 365 days. Are we together? Because God did not give love to the woman, He gave love to the man. When you give 60% of love to your wife, she gives back exactly what you put in. If you give her 60%, she'll give 60%. If you give 40, she'll give back 40. Many men says, my wife doesn't love me again. They said, you are a fool. If you say my wife doesn't love me, because you don't put in love. If you put 100%, she gives you back 100%. Hallelujah. I love these people which are called women. They receive, they give you back. You say, I love you too. You know, they are giving back what you give. Amen. All of us is the same. Nobody, we were singing here about the love of Jesus. Nobody has love for God. No, you don't have love. When you say, Jesus, I love you, you are only returning His love. You are only returning His love because while we are yet sinners, He died for us. You understand that? When you say, I love Jesus, you are only returning the love he poured inside you through his Holy Spirit. Are we together? The same with the wife. So I have a habit every day to tell my wife, I love you. You tell her when she's waking up, no makeups, no this paint and what, no the paintings and so on, you know. That's all rubbish. You know, you tell her when she's waking up, she hasn't even brushed her teeth. You say, honey, I love you. So, oh, thank you. Amen. It's a daily thing. Cultivate that love. Eh? Because if you don't cultivate, it suffers. Amen. So we are 48 years together with my wife. And every day I use this thing. Every day. She's in London now, visiting our children. And every day I use this thing to send a message. Honey, I miss you. I love you. Every day. Every day. I've got to convey that love. I'll be preaching nonsense here if I don't love my wife according to the scriptures, according to the word of God. Because the word of God says, Stephen, love your wife. And I said, yes, sir. Amen. That's all. That's the gospel. Are we together? When you do that, the world will see how much you love each other. Amen? I love that. One day, Pastor, I must come and preach on marriage only. Fix husband like I want to hammer husband very much. You know, all marriage is the problem, are the husbands. Amen. Hey, I can see some men hating me now here. Yeah, I know. Me, I'm simple to be hated. Very simple. Hallelujah. God gave me strong shock absorbers. Some have got CC absorbers. But me, I've been tested left and right. God gave me the strength to walk with him. Amen. But also I thank God because under the bridge, God trained me to eat junk food. But it was for now, that was my Bible college. Under that bridge was my Bible college where God was training me to be a tough Christian, to go anywhere around the world. God has no problem sending me anywhere. He can say, Steve, go, I'll go. Because I have no problem about eating food. I don't throw out. In China, I've eaten snakes. I've eaten any. Whether dogs, I don't know, everything. I don't throw out food. Because God gave me that international stomach under the bridge. Some of you have got South African stomachs. You eat this, you throw out. No, not with me. God gave me a tough stomach to go around the world in Congo eating monkeys and so on. But God, you know, when he says, Steve, go, I go. But some of you, God has to scratch his head. Can I send this guy? He's not sure. But me, even in his sleep, he said, go, I'll go. Amen? But I thank God. I've traveled around the whole globe. There's nowhere I've paid one single ticket. When God sends you, he pays. Amen. 2 years ago, I was invited to preach at the Pentagon. That's all CIA intelligence. All the top military guys of America. And I was invited to go and preach there in the presence of Obama. And I didn't know what to preach. God says, preach on Matthew 3, verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And after I preached the gospel, many soldiers, all the sea and many, in tears before God. And after that, you know, the president says, I've heard people preach on this verse, but the way of preaching is, you know, is powerful. May I have the notes? So I gave him my notes. Then I said, may I have a business card, please? I forgot that he was the president. I do stupid things sometimes. But that's how God, you know, faced. Now, I went to the police. Following day, I surrendered my guns. After 8 hours, they forgave me. That if your Jesus has forgiven you, we forgive you too. And then from there, I went to homes where I used to do armed robbery to ask for forgiveness. And all those homes, they forgave me. And it was God now moving in my life. And then a white African adopts me. And, you know, God uses an African again, you know. God has a sense of humor. He never used a black man, no. The real bur. Not a fake one. Others are fake. But God brings this man and he buys me new clothes, new shoes. For the first time, I was 22 years old when I wore a pair of shoes. First time. And you should have seen me that day. I was walking like a robot. I had never worn shoes before. All what I have a big mansion. I live in an executive area. One man was blessed by God, touched his marriage and so on. He came after the service, Mr. Lung, get in the car. We went to the suburb. He says, brother, I've just finished building that house. Here are the keys. It's yours. So I'm living in a big executive house. I never paid 1 cent. I don't pay mortgage. God paid it for. But then I've got 5 biological children, 3 girls, 2 boys. But I adopted 13 children from the streets who were thrown away. One from Congo, I would bought. One from Ethiopia, I've got all children from Africa. At 1 day old, some of them. But all have grown up and all have got PhDs. Who are thrown away. Their mothers don't know about these kids. But I wanted to give back to God what he did for me. Now I want to close this now. Can I close now? You know, in Africa we say, in conclusion, we go for 1 hour. Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, why I read, I want to read you Genesis 41. After I came to Jesus, do you know, for 5 years, this Africana, for 5 years, I wanted to kill him. 5 years, I wanted to kill him. We went preaching together. We went to the marketplaces together during the day. God used us, the two of us, preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus. But every night, I would take a knife while he's snoring to go and kill him. And sometime I would take a 6-inch nail to pierce it through his ears. 5 years. But each time I want to kill him, I would hear a voice behind me, Stephen, and I would turn around shaking. If there was a man who heard the voice of God, it's me. Many times I struggled. 5 years I got tired. I still had this hatred for the white man. I was born again. Don't make a mistake, I was truly born again. But my past was on my back. And so I got tired. I said, God, enough is enough. I took my Bible at Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. I took my Bible right in the bush. You know Victoria Falls? There are many lions in the bush. I actually went to the bush to die. I wanted to be killed by lions. Because God, I said, God, you haven't finished your work. Why do I want to kill a white man? And there I said, God, I'm giving you 7 days. And I didn't eat food. I didn't drink water. I was fasting and praying. I said, God, the 7th day, I will destroy the Bible to tell you that you have failed. So I was in the bush first day, second day. The 7th day, about 10 o'clock, I said, God, you only have this day. This is your last day to have me. So at 3 o'clock, as I was kneeling down there under the bush, a voice, that small voice, says, Stephen, read Genesis 41. Now, can we read? Amen. Oh, I love you. Oh, a clear ferio, eh? Oh, man. Genesis 41. You got it? I read Genesis, and I read Genesis 41 right through. And then I couldn't understand a thing. The Lord says, read it again. I read it second time right through. I couldn't get a thing. He said, read it again. 7th time. I mean, the 7th time, as I want to read, the Lord focuses me on these verses. Verse 51 and 52. They're almost like, I don't know some of you if this has ever happened. They come out, like the verses come out from the Bible, is standing right in front of you. That's what happened to me. And I'm reading, now let's read verse 51. I could have started from verse 1, but verse 51 it says, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh. What name? Manasseh. What name? Manasseh. Hey, Joseph was saying, Manasseh, come here, my son. And the boy would run, Manasseh, come here, Manasseh. You know, Jews never mentioned the names of their children like English people. They just name because it sounds nice. I like the Zulus. When the Zulus give names, they mean something. Amandla, power. Sibusiso, blessings. Is that right? Those are the names. But some of you give names because it sounds good. And we joke about the Chinese. He said the Chinese, they take a plate, they throw it, and then when he said ting tong, he said, oh, our child is ting tong. Ping ping. That's a joke. So don't name, because it doesn't mean anything. Ting tong doesn't mean. But Joseph, when he named that boy, he was saying something. The meaning is right there. He named him what? Manasseh. And that's the meaning. It is because God has made me forget all my troubles and my father's household. Hallelujah. So when he was saying, Manasseh, come here, my boy. This is what he said. God has made me forget all my troubles and my father's household. You understand that? Now, what were the troubles with Joseph? Joseph was in trouble with his brothers because his father gave him clothes of different colors. Trouble number one, eh? Mothers, fathers, if you want to create a problem in your house among your children, favor one child too much, then you are creating trouble. You understand? Number two, Joseph was a dreamer. And he dreamt and he told his brothers. Now, my brother, when you dream, don't interpret the dream. Just sleep, dream, and tell it. Let the people interpret. Amen? Are we together? Let them interpret. Because when they interpret, they're actually telling you your future. And in the church, I want people who dream. People who dream in this church must dream. Hey, please, go and dream in the snow properly. When you dream, you snow as well. Because that's where you dream. People who don't snow, they are not professionals in sleeping. You must dream and snow at the same time. Me, I'm a professional snower. Yeah, so when you dream, let the people interpret the dream. So next time, he dreamed the second time. Who interprets him? His brothers plus his father. You understand? His brothers plus his father. That's why he's saying in this verse, God has made me forget my trouble and my father's household. Amen. He was in trouble. So, what next? They send him to go and supervise his brothers. Another problem. You don't take the youngest to be the supervisor. That's what they did. So they put him in the dungeon. Now, when God is working in your life, this is the process he takes you. When you are put in the dungeon, God humbles you downwards. When they lift you out of the dungeon, God is lifting you up. When they send you to Egypt, you are being sent as a missionary. So he gets to Egypt. All that being said, it is the brothers who are selling him. You remember that, eh? So they interpreted the dream. They are also fulfilling the what? The dream. By selling him where? To Egypt. So he gets to Egypt. He goes to Potiphar's house. He's working there in Potiphar's house. Working. He's singing, you know, working in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the Potiphar's wife looks at the boy. He was handsome like me. You know. Don't you think so? I think he was like me. But he was working. Praise God. But then this woman, you know, because she was doing the vice versa. It's a man who proposed, but this time it was the woman proposing. But she said, now how do I tell him? So she goes there. Ah, the boy doesn't look. And some women now, the modern culture, they open the chest a little bit wider. So much that you see all the oranges. And you see it even in church these days. In church, even you see the way ladies are dressing now, it's horrible. Some you count from here, 1, 2, that's the length of the dress. And she's leading worship. What an insult to God. The woman's body is precious. The woman's body is like gold. What is precious comes underneath the mind. Amen? It's hidden where? In the mind. Diamond is hidden where? Down. So a woman's body is like diamond. Must be hidden. Because it's sacred. Amen? Are we together? Don't expose your bodies, ladies. Amen? I know you will not invite me again, but I don't care. Yeah, so that's what Joseph was doing. Then, 52, number 2 child. The second son he named Ephraim. Who? Who? This is the meaning. It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Trouble and suffering, they are two different words. You hear that? Now, in the land of my suffering, Now, Joseph started suffering when this woman got hold of Joseph. Sleep with me, sleep with me. Joseph left his jacket and ran for dear life. Young boys, if you are here, even men who are married or not married, the sin of sex, don't pray. The sin of sex, don't pray, but run. Run, if you can run, run. This is the only sin. You don't waste time. Oh, Father, please pray me, help me. Run. Amen. Amen. Run. Oh, there is a chemistry that moves in your body. If you are praying, come here, brother, let me demonstrate. You need the chemistry. You know, God created man and woman differently. If you touch a woman, you feel something is. There's another. Even your eyes closed, you touch a woman, you see a chemistry there. Amen? Amen. So when you start praying, Father, please, you fall, but run, run, run. Amen? Amen? Are we together? I've been running for a long time myself. Oh, I ran. In New York, a young lady came into my room, knocked the door, a white young girl, 20-year-old girl, knocked at the door, and I was about to sleep, and I opened the door. She dashed under my arms, and I was looking, checking at the corridors. Who's checking? Who is chasing her? I looked this way, that way, this way. There was nobody. But when I turned around, she was naked on my bed. I'm miles away from my wife. I take the cover bed from one bed, threw it over her, raped her and forced her out. And at the door, she was stepping over. No, you must sleep with me. You must ask, to get out, you devil. Her clothes followed later. You understand what I say? Yeah, don't waste time. So I called my wife in Africa. I said, honey, this is what I've experienced. I said, kneel down, and I knelt down. My wife started praying in Africa for me. You know, as an evangelist, don't think because of I'm an evangelist, I'm not tempted. I'm tempted, but I ran. You understand? I'm saying, I ran. You know, many people even fall with their secretaries at the offices because you spend the whole day with a secretary, and these secretaries are clever, very clever. They polish all these, and they come, you know, and then when they come, you are looking gorgeous. Hey, the moment you praise her, you are starting trouble. Never praise a secretary. Amen? So, here, that's where God started dealing with me. So I said, God, I don't understand all this. It says, go to chapter 48. Look at chapter 48. Verse 8, it says, who are these? That was the question of Israel. Who are these? Chapter 48, verse 8. Who are these? Joseph said, these are the children God has given me in this land, in this place. In other words, he was saying, these are the children God has used for me to understand my identity. God will use Manasseh and Ephraim to bring a process of inner healing in your life. So Israel says, bring them. Let you go, verse 17, bring them, let me bless them. Amen? Are we together? Bring them, let me do what? Bless them. Two young people, can you come here forward quickly? Two young boys, please come quickly. Oh, man, all right, even if you're a girl, come. All right, here's a young man. All right. Oh, thank you. Oh, Yeah. Now the taller one is Manasseh, eh? And this is Ephraim. Okay. That's what he did. He says, bring them. So Manasseh, he takes Manasseh on his left. He takes Ephraim on his right. Because God, when he blesses, he uses his right hand. When he heals, his right hand. When he blesses your life, right hand. He gives you wealth, right hand. He protects you, right hand. He delivers you, right hand. So he says, oh, for my son Manasseh to be blessed by my dad, let me take Manasseh on my left so as to reach his right. And Ephraim, can you stand up, say, you are Israel from now on. Now, he takes his children, he's aiming for Manasseh for the right hand. So when he brings them closer, Israel crosses. Put your hands on. He crosses his hands. You look what happened, eh? He crosses his hands. Thank you so much. When he crossed his hands, the blessing go to Ephraim. Now, God was saying, verse 20, let's read verse 20. This is what God was saying to me. Stephen, you have been doing it wrong. You have been trying to forget your past. You don't forget the future. All right. Verse 20 says, so he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you like who? Ephraim. And what? As Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. So he put Ephraim ahead, Manasseh behind. So I started walking like this. Ephraim was ahead. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. When you are fruitful in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you swim in the fruits of the Spirit, you forget Manasseh. And that's what happened to me that day. Then I went to the white man. I said, my brother, for 5 years I've been wanting to kill you. He was shocked. We hugged each other. We cried over each other's shoulders. And we forgave each other. And he became my best friend ever. My best friend. And all my friends are white people. And I thank God. But God in his love, as I said, I've got 5 children. My firstborn married in Malawi. Secondborn married in Malawi. Thirdborn, she's a businesswoman. The fourthborn is a pilot in England, but married a white British girl. So God was saying, Stephen, I'll bless you because of what, I'll give you all these nationalities you were hating before. So God gives me a white daughter-in-law. God has a sense of humor, eh? Huh? So I've got a white daughter-in-law, and I've got colors of children. Oh, lovely colors. Hey. Now we're waiting for Indians now. Hallelujah. And my youngest daughter is married by a man from Portugal. So I've got Portugal, I've got British, I've got Malawi. God says, Stephen, I will take you, I will heal you as long as you take Ephraim ahead of you. All these things which are a problem to you, you are healed from now on. And from that day, I accepted a white man as the image of God. And that day, God changed my attitude towards white people. And God changed me because now I have no problem. I think kingdom way. I don't think earthly way. Kingdom way, whether you are a colored or Indian or Chinese, to me, I don't see those colors because my mind is saturated with the kingdom of God. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe you are here, you've been struggling, someone you never forgave for many years ago. You are abused by your mother or father or stepfather. You are still struggling. You are still struggling up to now. Hey, put Ephraim ahead, Manasseh behind. You will see what God will do this morning. Because God has a blessing for you. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. Shall we stand?
Thank you, Stephen. I think this is such a deep word, and I just want to give time that we respond to this word. I think we all have a past, so I want to just want to invite you to respond to the word that he has given, a word that many times we put our past before us and say that will define us, and our past does not define who we are, but Jesus defines who we are. So we just want to give you just time to respond. So if that spoke to your heart, what Stephen spoke about, I want you to just as a reaction, just move to the front. We would love to spend time in prayer, and we just want to give you time to do that. And this is the moment where many of us Afrikaners don't want to go, but come. I want to really invite you, and I don't even want to challenge you. God has got more for us than being stuck in culture and being stuck in past and being stuck in our own hurts. So I want to invite you, come forward. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thank you for responding. Thank you for responding. Just said, maybe it's time to forgive. It's time to move ahead. It's time to walk out of mindsets into a kingdom mindset to receive the fruitfulness that the Lord wants us. That is why he's saying we must abide, eh? We will be fruitful. We will be fruitful. So thank you, Lord. Thanks. We're just going to give a moment that we spend some time together in prayer. Man, maybe you're here and you think, yes, I think I've forgiven everybody. I think it's always a good thing to go and check with the Lord. Is your heart clean? Is your mind clean? Have you truly forgiven? Have you freed? And you know, when you forgive, you know who's set free? Yourself is set free. I just sense there's some people that need to forgive themselves.
Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, O God, this morning for this glorious moment. Lord, your children have responded to your word. They didn't respond to Stephen, but they responded to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Father, we bow down with all our hearts in repentance, O God, against the past which has been tormenting us, sometimes without knowing it. The angers which we inherited from our forefathers, or the characters which we inherited from our fathers or mothers. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, release your children, O God. Release them, O God. Set them free in Jesus' name, that they will be fruitful from today, that the fruits of the Spirit will be manifested in their lives. That joy, that peace, long-suffering, forgiveness, that love of God will overflow into their lives from this day. Father, that the fruits of the Spirit will be manifested even at work, at home, even in the church. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, oh God, glorify yourself this morning. Thank you, Father, even for those tears which are being shed right now. Lord, receive these tears, O God, as you soothe their hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit, that oil that comes from the cross itself. Lord, that you touch them. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse all past, cleanse all negative things in their lives, O God. The curses from generation, I cut them now. In Jesus' name, Father, where there'd be no peace or in marriages, Father, I pray that they'll be fruitful from today in their relationships with each other, with God, with other neighbors. Oh God, I pray that you'll visit with us in a new way now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you can even use a nobody to preach the gospel. Yes. Father, I pray that you'll be glorified this morning for my brothers and sisters who have come forward. Bless them, Father. Touch them, Father. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know, Scripture says that the fruitfulness of our lives brings glory to God. And I just have such a sense that the Lord is redeeming the past and that it will speak of His glory. He's just loosening the chains of the past so that we can run into destiny, into what He has for each one of us. So I just want to invite you to... We're going to end it off now, and you guys can enjoy some fellowship. The worship team is going to continue, and we're going to spend some time in worship and prayer in front. And if you want to respond and come forward for prayer, I want to invite you. Please feel free to come. We would love to pray with you and for you. For the rest of the guys, bless you so much. Thank you so much for coming. And I pray that even what God is saying, that this will a great harvest will come out of what He's doing at the moment in our midst. So bless you, bless you, bless you.